need the whole space today. So last weekend we were in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Jan and I, and we were there at a Centers for Spiritual Living church. And it's the largest one in Canada, largest New Thought ministry in Canada. And our purpose was to go there for them to complete their process in engaging in my coaching program. And Jan and I were there to also launch their Q Process program. They had, in a previous visit, they had 60 at our first Q Process workshop. Last weekend, they had 122. And they only have 200 people, so we're becoming a role model for some churches. Then next month I go to a large ministry in Central California, and invite them to join the party, join what we're trying to create. We're in a process of moving from minister-centric to mission-centric ministry practice, and I'm going to explain why in part. But I want to mention that last week I had thought I was going to talk about something else. My planned talk was about our Unity's third foundation principle, and that is we create our own personal reality through the thoughts that we think, our beliefs, and how we're being with what we're having. Those elements, along with some others, help construct what we're having as our felt experience in life. And so many of us know that. We nod our heads yes to that. But part of the problem is that we fall asleep to the process that creates our personal reality. We forget that what we're experiencing is an effect of a creative process. And that what we're having as our experience is in no uncertain terms what we've run in our consciousness as a mind movie for creating the life that we have. On some level, whether it be conscious or not, we are generating the energetic projection of the life that we're drawing into our experience. And so what we're saying is that we understand that that happens, and our effort is to become conscious within it, so that we can kind of look around our experience of what we're having and be in the question, do I approve of what my experience is? Because if not, then my effort is not to try to fix and control and change what's happening, because that's the effect. I'm the cause. And so I have to somehow investigate my self-system's way of creating my personal reality, if I'm to have any kind of say as to whether or not this is acceptable, and therefore take efforts to address the mechanism that perpetuates what I'm having as my habit of being. So that's the challenge that we face. So the mechanism of life, in its perfection and its wisdom and intelligence, just so happens to have it that when our personal reality starts not to work for us anymore, we get feedback. And typically the feedback's in the form of discomfort. But the discomfort's not against us. It's simply telling us that the way in which we're creating our life is insufficient to the truth of who we are and what we're capable of. So absent of something in the mechanism of the way things work, the Tao, is a mechanism that invites us into reconciling. So this is what you believe. This is the reality that you create. Is that okay? If not, then we can create a different experience. But we have to know that we can. And we have to know the mechanism by which we create what's going on. And then we have to systematically practice reconditioning the body, mind, the mechanism that produces our personal reality. We have to recondition the whole system to a different context for embracing our life experience. Now, that's the rocket science of personal transformation. Okay, I completed that talk. Now I can go to the next talk, which is what I'm here to talk about, and that is we have a problem with the reality that we've created around funding our organization. I'm not just talking about Unity Spiritual Center in Spokane. I'm talking about the minister-centric paradigm of ministry has an expiration date. And I'm wanting to talk about that because we need to understand that the reality that we experience at, as Unity Spiritual Center has also a dimension of that reality that lives in the context of what could be described as a story of separation. In other words, we have been doing church, Unity Spiritual Center in its 104 years of existence has been doing church the very same way as those who came before us. As a matter of fact, our 400-year-old paradigm in ministry, where the minister ostensibly is the surrogate parent unto the flock, that person has such impact on the community that a spiritual community in the context of its journey over time, when it undergoes the comings and goings of ministers, it has a toll on the community as well as the organization. And what I'm suggesting is that in this economy, in this world circumstance, in what's happening now today, not 30 years ago, but right now, we have now reached, it's in view, the expiration date for this particular ministry practice. And I'm going to share the information that gives you the facts that tell you that. And then I'm going to also share that there is a whole different paradigm of ministry or a different reality we can create for ourselves, but we have to be willing to create it together for us to experience it. Imagine such a thing, that we're actually having to create a new reality, a new dimensional place for us to actually enter into, because it doesn't exist, because what is superimposed upon our capacity to enter into a full expression of ourself is that we're living as if the story of separation is the truth of us. And that's not. It's just a story that we grew up within. It's just like the story of your family experience is not the truth of you. It's just what you have been brought into that you acquired basically your life lessons assignments to fulfill. And so we're here to put to rest the story of separation. And so that's good news, but the bad news is that there's no maps. There's no maps, no road maps to what this new paradigm of that we're talking about is, except there is a map in the sense of we have guiding principles. We know that whenever we are living in the story of separation, whenever there is an other, whenever there is a belief that there's something out there that holds us hostage in the context of our well-being and worth, that story must not be the truth. Because it feels so oppressive, it feels so not true, but yet we're conditioned to look around and see, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on that is that the world is claiming as evidence for us to have to be a certain way in order for us to survive or be safe or to thrive. And basically that message is that you have to get more to be more. That's the lie. But no one's going to fix that for us. No government policy, no altruistic entrepreneur intention. Nothing's going to fix the challenge, the baggage that we possess, and that is that what this that we have today, the world that we have today, is an effect of humanity's best effort to conjure a way of being able to actualize a potentiality that is not of this world, but yet the world calls it forth. And so our struggle to move from separation to inner being plays itself out in all aspects of our life. And now I'm going to talk about church finances in the next few minutes, this church's finances, only because this church's finances is universal of all minister-centric models of ministry. And when we understand our situation, it's not unique, but it is common because of the context of our story, our paradigm, our practice is needing to evolve. And when we understand what needs to be evolved, we understand that it is in alignment with where we want to go anyway to make the world a better place. And that is, we have to evolve out of the belief that we're separate. We're separate from life. We're separate from God. We're separate from each other. Because it's only in that separation can we hurt ourselves or each other. And so I'm going to share a brief movie. This is a short clip. It comes from, it features our current board president. We're honoring board presidents today, past presidents, current presidents. It's the president of Unity Worldwide Ministry. And he's at a summit a week ago. And I've taken, the live summit was posted on Facebook, and I've extracted a clip. This summit is for the purpose of being in the question, how can we survive past 2030? In other words, the Unity movement is looking at 2030 as the expiration date because of what's going on in the world. And so this is not, so I'm not wanting you to feel like this is Al Gore doing his Inconvenient Truth, but it's like too late. So, you know, so Al Gore, remember when Al Gore did his thing 10 years ago? And, you know, we're all low-hanging fruit, many of us, thinking, yeah, but it's taken 10 years for him to come out again and basically say, here's the mirror, and the reflection has changed. It's gotten more dire. And yet it's that same energy around, well, how can we change? How can we change this that it requires all of us to do so? And how can I be a participant in this change? Because there's so many things that make my effort so different than all the ways in which we come together. Because we have people of means, you have people that don't have means, you have people with this, people with that. It seems like it's an impossible thing. And so as you listen to the news, the not so good news, let's let the facts inspire us to move into an intention, and this is where it lives, into the intention that we're going to welcome the new paradigm, and we're going to have a different way of being in relationship to this ministry's need to be supported. This ministry must be supported if it's to exist. And almost 9 out of 10 churches in North America are 1 month away from homelessness. 9 out of 10. All right, with that as a context, here's the movie. Bless you.
It's all political change, and not one of us doesn't know how difficult a challenge it is. You know, the elephant in the room that's not talked about, sacred cow in the room, you know. And this whole cultural change, this is what we're talking about here, but we need to be the change before the change. We'll be out of business. We'll be out of business. And right now, he's got his hand up. We have more churches seem to be closing right now than we've had for quite a while. Small churches, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. Because other Christian denominations have had they've been closing quicker. About a third of Presbyterian churches have closed. 40% of Presbyterian churches have closed. And by the way, across denominations.
Okay, so he's listed some statistics, and I yesterday went online to Google church trends, and I pulled up an article that was written in 2017. And there's this organization that monitors the Protestant dimension of the cultural Christian community, which includes Catholicism and everything else. So they've basically said we have 23 Easters left. They've actually calculated, and the way they've done it, it's very interesting. It's very scientific, and the science is pretty solid. Basically, the only ones that are really supporting the church in any real sustainable way are the traditionalists, those who are in their 70s. So those of you who are in your 70s, you are the core of support. All the churches in America are supported by those who are part of the community that is aging out. It's aging out. And so what this means is that if you just keep churches on their trajectory, whereas while we get new people to come in, we're getting millennials. 53% of the workforce is now millennials, those who are in this, you know, 20s to 30 age or 30-ish age bracket. But they have a total different value system. You see, none of us traditionals or baby boomers, if they had a millennial church, we would walk into it as new people and it would be strange to us. But yet, we expect the millennials to find our way of worship okay. You know, so it's this catch-22 when it comes to how can we create sustainability when our cultures are so different, and we need all of the cultures to be really diverse enough for us to be able to be in the experience of interbeing, because interbeing is diverse as well as inclusive. And so part of the challenge is that we have to overcome the obstacles of how things are, because when we fall asleep, the story of separation takes over. So let me very quickly look at some of the problems with our current ministry practice. And the reason why my work is becoming really integral now, and why I'm being asked to go to all of these churches, is because the current ministry practice, the problem is that it's not sustainable because of funding issues. It's not funded. So let's understand why. So our 400-year-old model of ministry is based on the principle of tithing. In other words, our whole concept of ministry is based upon you give to where you're spiritually fed. And so while this has worked beautifully for the New Thought movement, especially when we developed prosperity teachings that really helped many of us who've grown up in New Thought. But the challenge is that in these times, those same teachings that were the source of our abundance and thriving ministries that grew the Unity and New Thought movement to great prominence are now not working at all. And so the challenge is that, first of all, millennials think that tithing's a gimmick. Second of all, those of us who've had some experience in the tithing, in the practice of tithing, it's cyclical. It doesn't necessarily draw us into a consistent practice, because part of our challenge is our own individual struggle in dealing with our own sense of not enough. So it's important for us not only to appreciate that no longer are the traditional ways in which churches have sought funds, no longer is that happening, but that congregations and leaders of ministries are forced to then strategize as to how we can get you to give more. So just imagine your entire leadership meeting every month for the purpose of trying to figure out how to get more. That's what's going on in leadership groups all over the country. And that's not the way to do ministry. And if you talk to ministry leaders, it's not fun. I bet if we were to ask the board presidents to come up and tell us what's exciting about their work in ministry, it's probably not about figuring out how we're going to raise the money to pay the bills. Nobody likes that. Actually, when asked, what would you rather have, double the people or double the money? It's only the ministers that say double the people. Because the board lives with the stress of having to make things work. The ministers come and go, but you all are here. You have to deal with what's here to deal with. And so we have to find a better way. And so if the better way in the context of the old paradigm of separation is to get more, and that exacerbates the problem, because in Scripture, the principle is to him who has, more shall be given, but to him who has not, even that which he has shall be taken away. Because we live in a paradigm of separation, and when we're unconscious, we inadvertently buy into the belief that I need to get something from someplace other than myself in order for me to feel a sense of my own value or worth. That's the reason why we can't fund this church anymore, because we've run out of time where we can get away with being who we are or not and still be in the purpose of creating something that is important in the world. There's a happy ending to the story. So this is why. So I just came from, we just came from a ministry in Canada who signed up to do what we're doing. I'm going to be going next month to another ministry, as I mentioned, and this is the pitch. This is the talk. Okay, and so this talk is what decides whether or not the community is ready to move into the effort to create a tipping point where we can create an intentional process of walking into the story of interbeing in the context of our effort to fund this ministry, and then translate that same principle to our own personal lives. And so here's what's coming through. And so when we think about what are we trying to create in terms of mission-centric ministry, it's more than just the terminology of focusing the creation and the evolution of the organization in the context of configuring it for mission fulfillment. That's the organizational evolutionary piece. But it's really about creating an evolutionary shift with respect to how we are in relationship, both to our experience of the ministry in terms of community and in our relationship to the church in terms of its organization. And so rather than us thinking in terms of the minister and his or her flock, or the minister and the congregation, this, you know, how if you look at all the medieval churches, it's always long and narrow. You have the pulpit, and then you have the community. And the more progressive churches are round, and in the round is because we're wanting more inclusivity. We're wanting to feel more connected. Well, the next dimensional leap is to create a community of owner partners. That what mission-centric ministry is about is you shifting out of being a congregant into being an owner and partnering with the leadership of this church to create the organization that can fulfill itself and its purpose in this world, in this economy. And let's see how we can do that. So we have to begin with a vision that pulls us into the actualization of the possibility that we're trying to bring forth. And so this goes to anything that we want to create that lives outside of our habit of being. You have to begin by setting a goal that draws you into the fulfillment of that. And so for us here at Unity Spiritual Center, I shared this at our first board retreat almost 3 years ago. And our vision is that we absolutely 100% underwrite our entire budget through automatic contributions independent of our Sunday love offering. If we don't ever have that goal, it never can be reached. And then when we take in a love offering on Sundays, we take in whatever we take in, and it's given away to some place in this community in the greater Spokane County that serves help our partners in helping us support those who need assistance that we don't have the bandwidth for. But now this is a goal. It's not going to happen today. I don't have this need to have all of us sort of say, yeah, this is great. But it's something that has to be demonstrated. If you're ready to demonstrate today the total underwriting of our community, bring it on. But I am clear enough that we have to live ourselves into that. And so we need to have an intentional, coherent understanding of how we all must begin to move towards this fulfilled state of community. So we're talking about taking whoever we have right now who considers himself an owner. And the way you know that you are an owner is that you think about this church when you're not here, and it matters to you that this church is okay with being in its responsibilities with the world. If you're there, then the question is that are you intentional in your relationship to the church that takes ownership to the next level? And so let's just say that out of however many we have, there's 70 or 80 people here this morning, that there's just 20 who are in that category. I don't care how many who are. I just care that those of you who know you're in that culture of ownership, that you know what your job is from now on, because we want more people in this group that you occupy. So I'm talking about the few that perhaps are in this group, and I'm talking about the rest who can become a part of this group. It's just that you haven't quite understood how yourself fits into this yet, or you haven't quite understood what I'm really talking about. That's okay, either one, because this is a work in progress. So what I'm going to share with you now is not about us taking the leap and fixing what our problems are, but it's about you understanding what your board's approach will now become, because something happened last board meeting. We're dealing with a significant deficit, and we're looking at our budget, and we're all tired of making it not enough as a board. And we got to a place where we're done. And we got to a place where there's some things that need to be done differently. And one is that we have to be willing as leadership to be able to hold up a mirror and say, this is how we're doing. And it has to be okay for you to be able to be present to the mirror and not react, not take it personally, not get triggered in your own sense of not enough, but just to be able to be present to say, this is how we're doing so far. And yes, we can always do better, but we're not going to ask that you give more ever in this church. But we are going to ask that you be more in this church, because that's what it's going to take for us to grow up. Because part of our challenge as a spiritual community is growing up as well as waking up. And so if we are to move towards this principle that we can fund this ministry, I'm just wanting to see if we can go to this next step. Let's just say that this is not all of us, that all of us is about 200 people. Every chair in this room would have somebody in it if we were all here. But we're not all here. But let's just say that if we could all be here, could we not all agree that amongst us all, there is the potential for us in this moment, if all of us was here, if all of us was in this energy of ownership, it could be done. Can you not see it in the principle of our inner being, our inner connection, when we see who we are and what we're capable of owning at some level within our energetic field? It's already funded. We just have yet to call it forth in the context of our individual and collective demonstrations, because we don't know how to do that yet in the context of inner being. So that's the next slide. All right, so the way I'm going to introduce how we're going to be present in this new concept of inner being and this new paradigm of ministry, I have to do this quickly. So here is one example of looking at the mirror. This is our current mirror that we're going to hold up at the membership meeting. And so the idea is that when we're in the new paradigm of ministry, we understand from time to time the mirror is going to go up. But the mirror is not about somebody else. The mirror is about us, how we're doing with respect to what is needed to make sure that we're capable of fulfilling our purpose without having to create the additional baggage of stress and drama that goes with not enough. So the first step is, can we be present to this mirror? So here's the mirror right now. Right now, at Unity Spiritual Center, based upon our current ministry practice, minister-centric model of ministry, produces this as being our best effort. 65% of us provide the necessary funds, or only 65% of us are involved in some form of intentional giving that moves us towards fulfilling our effort to meet our budgetary needs. And so that means that 35% of those budgetary needs aren't being generated by those who are in ownership or in some form of automatic giving. So that's not bad news. It's just important for us to take this information as feedback and say, are we okay with this as being our best effort? And if we're not, then being the question, And so before I answer the what that question is, let me just presence another important piece of information. That is, if we imagine 200 people as being our community of, and if we can imagine at some dimensional place, if everyone is stepping forward and in the intent to do what one can with respect to what is being reflected back in the mirror, if everyone had that intent to do what one can, not what one does, but what one can, realizing that everyone, that looks differently for everybody. So there are some people, they can, in terms of doing what they can, they can write a check and resolve all of our not enough in the moment. But I don't want any one of you to do that if you have that ability. Because that's not what this is about. This is about each of us as an individual, regardless of whether we're a person of means or not, to be so empowered to know that just in our individual effort to do what we can in the context of the mirror, that's more than enough. And that's just as equal as the person who has the ability to write the check and resolve all of our not enough, but does so as if I can do anything. It's about not us doing anything. It's about doing what we can. And that's what makes us all equal. That's what makes this effort one in which that invites everyone to participate, because everyone's participation is ultimately equal in the context of interbeing. No one's richer than you. No one is richer than you. Only in the story of separation do you find that that's not true. But no one is richer than you. And if we're to create a different reality, a different funding paradigm, it's important for us to be more. And in that question of being more, for us to look at, well, what can I do? And now we can fall asleep there too. We can just, okay, I can do this, and then fall asleep. And then we know something is happening. But if we're not paying attention to the mirror, or if we don't feel connected to a greater effort that is consciously, intentionally, welcome, tell us how we're doing, because we're up to owning this. This is the community that we need to create, that we need to call forth. And as we recognize that is possible, then we can literally do anything. We can create the kind of ministry that can thrive in this economy, because not about what's going on in the world, but because of what's going on in the world, we can be more than enough unto it. I think that's it.
How y'all doing? Let's take a breath. Is this making sense?